Good morning. I'd like to begin today by extending our condolences to the family of Declan Sullivan. We have been in regular contact with them, and we provided them with our findings yesterday afternoon. October 27, 2010 was a very tragic day for them, and today does represent one more step towards the closure for the Sullivan family, friends of Declan Sullivan, and for Notre Dame. Many of you have already reported on the incident, so I'm going to forego the background details and jump directly to our findings. At the conclusion of our 4.5-month investigation, we have issued a safety order to the University of Notre Dame for the following violations. We found that Notre Dame did not establish and maintain conditions of work that were reasonably safe for its employees, that were free from recognized hazards, that caused or were likely to cause death or serious injury in the following way. Notre Dame failed to properly train the student employees on the operation and use of any of the 3 scissor lifts used to film the football team that day. Notre Dame was the owner of the scissor lift that was blown over and had failed to have it inspected on the required annual, monthly, or weekly inspection schedule. The lift was missing the appropriate warning decals, missing the operator's manual, and had not been serviced in accordance with the manufacturer's preventive maintenance schedule. These findings constitute 5 violations classified as serious, resulting in fines totaling $22,500. In addition, by directing its untrained student videographers to use the scissor lifts during a period of time when the National Weather Service had issued an active wind advisory for northern Indiana at 2:44 p.m. that day, which advised that sustained winds of 25 to 35 miles per hour were likely, with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour, the university knowingly exposed its employees to unsafe conditions. Declan Sullivan's lift was extended 39 feet into the air. At the time, a strong gust of wind came up and blew it over. Each of the 3 student employees on the scissor lifts that were extended into the air were in sight and radio contact of their supervisor. This is a knowing violation, the most serious classification we have under the law, and we have imposed a penalty of $55,000 for this violation, for total penalties of $77,500. Notre Dame was cooperative in our investigation. They provided us access to every person, every document, and every piece of evidence we requested. Notre Dame has taken action to ensure that such an accident will never happen again by eliminating the use of the scissor lifts for filming and replacing them with remote-controlled cameras positioned on a semi-permanent structure. President Jenkins also took the remarkable step of sending an email to all students and others shortly following the accident, acknowledging that the university had failed to keep Declan Sullivan safe. Because our mission at the Indiana Department of Labor includes working to see that employers do not fail to keep their employees safe, and because we believe that there are many universities, colleges, and high schools that use scissor lifts in their athletic, band, and theatrical practices and performances, we will be launching an educational initiative for universities and high schools about proper safety when using this equipment. Letters to a number of associations, including the NCAA and the IHSAA, have been prepared by our office. I know that you'll have questions about this program, the findings, so I'm going to ask Deputy Commissioner Jeff Carter to join me. We're going to tag team on your questions so that we can get them all answered. We'll be starting with the call-in media, and Stephanie will facilitate that.
Okay, those of you that are there on the phone, if you'd like to go ahead and put your question through, that'd be great. If you could just let us know what media outlet you're with when you preface your question, we'd appreciate it.
Hi, my name is Mary Chalet. I'm with a publication called Paint Square News. Is your statement going to be available on your site?
Our statement can be made available on our site, yes. We'll be with the press kit, I think, is what we'll do.
Yes, the news release will be actually being issued at 10:15 this morning. It'll have a link out to it to a full press kit, which will include the safety order.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David Hoff from the Chicago Tribune, and I was wondering if you could tell me if your report identified specific individuals or specific individuals' roles whose decisions were made, who made the decision to go out and practice on this day and to put Declan Sullivan in the Citizens List.
The safety order, the report does not. The file is extensive. There are many, several hundred pages to it, I believe, and there were interviews in there. There are statements made by different people in the Notre Dame athletic department that may answer that question. Anyone else on the phone with a question?
Hello, this is Ashok Salvan with the Daily Herald. I was wondering what took so long during the 4.5 months of this investigation?
This is probably a typical amount of an investigation to do a fatality. We took as long as we needed to make sure we had all the evidence, all the statements, all the necessary information we needed to do a thorough and complete report.
I'm sorry, this is Mary Shalay again. Did you say there were two other student videographers up there at the time?
Yes.
Were they on mobile lifts or the permanently installed ones?
Mobile lifts.
And what happened after Declan's accident?
They lowered their lifts immediately. They were on different places on the field.
Okay. But isn't Notre Dame going to continue to use the permanently installed dog lifts?
I'll let Jeff answer that.
Okay.
I believe what you're referring to is the tower that separates the practice fields. There's a fixed tower in there, which is steel and concrete, and that was not part of this particular safety order. And I believe they do intend to use that some, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
This is David Hoffman, the Chicago Tribune. Again, your answer sort of broke up on my previous question, but I just wondered if you could tell me, as much as you hold the responsibility, the university responsible, and you're finding the university, in anywhere in your report, do you narrow it down to a specific job or individual whose decision led to him going into the scissors lift?
Not in the safety order. We do not.
Is that impossible to ascertain, or is that just something that is not something a path you wanted to go down?
It's just not part of the safety order. We wouldn't necessarily put that sort of detail in the official safety order.
Well, did Declan ask anybody if he should work that day, or did someone specifically tell him that he needed to work that day, or was it just assumed, or what?
I'm going to say that from the interviews that were conducted, which include the videography staff, the fellow videography employees, the athletic staff, the coaching staff, that there was a decision made to practice outside. Now, in and of itself, practicing outside, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
People running around on the football field, there was no danger to them. The decision was also made to film the practice outdoors using the scissor lift. And the students were told we're filming outdoor, and they were taken to the scissor lifts.
Who was responsible for making that decision to film outdoors, I guess? Is that part of the report?
I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I'll defer if Deputy Commissioner Carter knows.
I'm not sure that the report definitely shows that. I think the decision to play outdoors is of the coaches, to whether they're going to practice inside or outside. I think that's the coach's decision. From there, I think a number of decisions cascade away from that, because I believe they film the vast majority, if not all, of their practices. So if you're going to practice, there's going to be videographers there.
But isn't whatever role or whoever's job it was or decision it was to film outdoors an essential part of this investigation?
Oh, it was an essential part, and those people were interviewed.
So
something to add to that?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Let me try. There's one thing that I guess we should. When OSHA does an investigation, we see the employer as one party. So we don't necessarily look at it from who within the management structure made the decisions. While we might interview that, you might ascertain that certain people had some hand in that, whether it's the coach or the head of the videography team or whatever. We see that as the employer as a whole, because we're charged with looking at, did the employer maintain a safe workplace overall? So we're not, our investigation doesn't look at point a finger at an individual necessarily. It looks at the employer.
You ready to move on to? Yeah. Anybody else on the phone have any additional questions? Okay, we're going to move on here to the folks in the room.
So, Specs, you said he was up 39 feet, but what was the wind warning that should have been on the unit, or what kind of unit was it?
The kind of unit, again, I'm going to defer to the techno expert here.
It was a mark lift, scissor lift device, and there should be a warning sticker on the side that looks like an international symbol for a windsock, and it says 28 miles per hour on that. 28 is the maximum operating envelope for that particular, for that unit.
So that maximum height, or?
Just short of it.
Has Notre Dame been fined by IOSHA before, and if so, when and how severe was that fine?
We went back 5 years, and we had two complaints in the last 5 years, one from 2007, one from 2008. We did an inspection on both of those occasions, and we did not find that they were in violation of anything, and no fines or safety orders were issued.
Has Notre Dame responded at all to this?
Notre Dame was informed this morning about the contents of the safety order, and Deputy Commissioner Carter had a conversation with them this morning, a short while ago.
What did they say?
I'm going to defer that again to Mr. Carter, who had the conversation with them.
Yeah, I had the conversation this morning. It was a friendly conversation. It was, I think anyone that receives a safety order, you know, that they takes a little while to digest it, so we're going to have another conversation after a while. They were more interested in the mechanics of what happens next at this point. There's some disagreement on points, obviously, that happens with every citation, I think, or safety order we issue. But all in all, the conversation went very well, I thought. So,
What does happen next?
What happens next is Notre Dame has three choices of what to do. One, they can accept the safety order and pay the fine in full. They can contest the safety order to the Board of Safety Review, or they can ask for an informal conference. Whatever they do needs to be done within 15 business days of the day they receive it, and so I think that's going to be about April 7th. I mean, they could choose to do something more quickly than that, but that would be the outside time where a choice must be made.
Since this kind of equipment is used probably, or was used by colleges probably all over the country, including Indiana, was there any force, I mean, obviously hindsight's always 20/20, but I mean, if schools were using these and hadn't trained anybody, they didn't really know, didn't have proper guidelines on these, I mean, was there any, I guess I'm wondering if the blame here extends further than Notre Dame. I mean, should there have been regular inspections of this to make sure that this could have been avoided?
Okay, two questions right there. Let's do the easy one, which was the last one, about regular inspections. The owner's manual calls for regular inspections, different things happening at different intervals, much like your car, something you would do on a weekly inspection, a monthly inspection, an annual inspection. So, yes, we did find that they failed to have this particular lift inspected on that regular schedule. Now, as to your earlier question, again, we're not in our role as a regulatory agency. We're not there to blame anyone. But when we got this and did this investigation, it became clear to us that scissor lifts are used in many places. As you say, if you're a band parent, if you're, you know, the parent of a student, whether they're in high school, you know, doing other extracurricular activities or in college, scissor lifts are used predominantly in these applications. And so our effort is You know, our role is to keep employees safe that are in Indiana. And so we're going to extend that in a proactive way because we do have two sides of occupational safety and health in our office. One of them is an enforcement and a regulatory action, and that's what was triggered in this case. But we also have a consultation group that does education, outreach, training. And so we're going to get that group involved as we reach out to the groups that you've just talked about so that, in fact, if your local high school is using kids or adult volunteers or employees, understanding our jurisdiction extends to employees, not kids, not students, not adult volunteers, but we can address all of those populations by reaching out to them and trying to sensitize them to this case so that no other school board, principal, president of a university, athletic department, coach, has to deliver this message to a family again.
How far do you go? Do you tell them don't use them?
No, we're not telling don't use them. Scissor lifts are invaluable when you're trying to get to some height. This wasn't a matter of the scissor lifts being inherently dangerous. It's a big piece of equipment. And so you have to have a trained operator, and you have to know what the hazards, what the risks are when you use a scissor lift. And so it's not appropriate to understand where the on and off, the up and down switch is. That is not sufficient training for the operator of a scissor lift. So, no, the word is not don't use them, although when we're talking about abating a hazard, remedying a hazard, or making modifications so it doesn't happen again, clearly the most comprehensive way to do that is remove the scissor lifts. And that's what Notre Dame chose to do in this application. But you could have trained operators who understand that in this particular environment, outdoors that day, or whatever the environment is, that you can be properly trained and properly know how to use the scissor lifts. And I think that's also a remedy.
And a knowing violation, how rare or common is that?
We went back and looked, and I think we've had 16 in the last 4 years. Does that sound right?
No, it's 16 for the larger citations.
Oh, right. We had eight. We had eight. I'm sorry, I misspoke. We've had eight knowing violations in the last 6 years. So not common, but this one does not stand out alone.
It says in the news release that the family has been notified about the investigation findings.
They were.
What is their response then?
Their response was that they were extremely appreciative that we took the time and gave them the opportunity to ask us any question that they had. So we probably spoke with them somewhere on the order of about an hour last night. Beyond that, they have asked that their spokesperson be contacted and his name, email address, and phone number on your fact sheet. And that was the only comment that they wanted us to convey, was that they were very grateful for the opportunity to talk to us and understand everything about the safety order.
Notre Dame was fined $55,000 for that knowing violation. On the release, it said they were fined up to $70,000.
Correct.
What goes into those?
All right, and I'm going to, this is a set of legal parameters, so I'm going to ask Deputy Carter to address that since he's more fluent in the kinds of deductions, the different factors that we take into account in assessing that fine.
The way these things are figured and the way that goes from 70 to 50 is based on the probability and severity of the case. Obviously, severity at this one is very high. But when it comes to the probability, we looked hard at what happens when the wind blows against one of these things. Is it an absolute that it blows over or not? And so that's not necessarily true depending on the type of unit. So we used a moderate probability in there, in which by the formula that's built in under the law, immediately lowered it to the 55. So,
in the day following the accident, Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick said that he found the weather to be unremarkable right before the lift toppled. Does your report seem to contradict that statement that he made?
Well, our report shows that there was a wind warning for most of that day, but it had been recalled probably before practice started. But it was replaced with a wind advisory. So again, as my comment said, winds were sustained in the amount of 25, could have been expected in the amount of 25 to 35 miles per hour, with wind gusts of up to 45 miles per hour. the National Weather Service, when we went back and looked at their records, reported that actually the top wind gust in South Bend that day was at 53 miles per hour.
Is there any evidence that any of the students expressed some type of reservation before going up on the lift? Were any of them, you know, afraid to go up on the lift? Were any of them speaking with the coaches?
Well, I won't characterize whether they were afraid or not. I think Declan Sullivan made a comment about going up on the lift, and then they made a decision out of the three lifts. One of the operators did not go up until well into the practice because of what she was taping, and so they just simply made a decision, let's not put her up any earlier than what is needed, and so she didn't go up until later.
And the coaches knew about this?
Yeah. I can't speak about the coaches. These folks work for the videography department, so I can't speak about the coaches. I doubt probably that they were speaking to the coaches.
You indicate that he had expressed reservations to a direct supervisor,
Marshall? I'm not sure about the direct supervisor. And keep in mind, these are statements that we gathered post-accident. So what one person recalls, another person may not recall, or they'll recall something different given the sort of trauma that took place that day. And I think that Declan Sullivan's remarks were, oh, man, this sucks. And that's what one person, one of his colleagues, recalled.
And he told me that when?
Before going outside, I believe. Certainly before he got in his lift.
How does this fine compare with what other universities in the state have faced? Is it one of the highest, or is it middle of the road? How does it compare with other fines?
I'm not sure. We looked at the fines of other universities, did we?
Yeah.
All right. So Mr. Carr can answer that.
We took a look at that because we thought that might be a question. Universities generally have not seen much action and when it comes to OSHA inspections, and we haven't had a fine this size in the last that we could track back and find anywhere in the recent past. So from that standpoint, it is kind of stands out on its own. But so does the incident. So.
For how long? Recent past, what is that?
5 years.
5 years, okay.
So this could be a record. This could be the highest fine ever proposed.
That's certainly possible. I'd be a little careful. I'm not sure I'd characterize that yet without going back a little further and looking back in previous years, too.
The highest in at least 5 years?
Yes.
To a university?
To a university, yes.
Is IOSHA now done with this? The investigation is finished?
The investigation is closed. Obviously, they have appeal rights, administrative appeal rights, and so we're not really done, but we are done with the investigation.
You talked about training more than just, you know, the up-down button. How much training, if any,
I think the evidence will show that they knew how to go up and how to go down.
How long were they on the list for?
Well, the accident happened at about 4:50 p.m. that afternoon, and I think the statements indicate they were all arriving on site at about 2:45, 3 o'clock. So a good while. Exactly when they got there and when they got to the lifts, our investigation doesn't show that exact time. But they've been up for a good while.
Did the student videographers that you talked to, did they feel like they could say, what if they said, I'm not going up because it's too windy, or was there any kind of...
Well, I think that's a good question, but an answer that we don't know.
Was there anything expressed while he was up on the lift? He was sending, you know, tweets while he was up there. Did he express any reservations while he was up there when the wind gusts started coming?
Not that our evidence showed.
Correct.
Was there any indication of any kind of malfunction in the lift, or was it 100% due to the fact that it was extended during the wind?
I'm going to tell you that we carefully looked at the lift in its position on the ground. We were there when a crane lifted the lift onto a flatbed trailer and took it to a warehouse, and we had inspected it, and we got pictures of things. There is evidence of damage to the lift, but our best judgment is that probably happened when the lift toppled over and fell. Jeff, do you have anything you want to add to that?
We found no evidence of that a mechanical failure was the cause of this. This was, in the investigator's opinion, and in my opinion, it was exclusively a wind incident.
Okay, and what kind of lift was it? What was the brand on?
A Mark lift, M-A-R-K-L-I-F-T, it's one word, yes. Mark lift.
How old was it?
I don't know. Jeff?
They began manufacturing that particular unit, I believe, in 89, and this unit was newer than that, but not a lot newer. It was a little difficult to pin that down exactly. Serial numbers don't correspond to a year, so we had a little bit of trouble pinning that down. But I can tell you they began making them in 89 and phased them out in the mid-90s. So it's got a few years on it. But that doesn't necessarily, if it's serviced properly, doesn't mean a lot. It certainly has a long service life.
But it was never inspected, or when do your records show the last time it was inspected?
No, our records show the last time it was inspected was in fall of 2009. So, no, it isn't true that it was never inspected.
Okay.
I guess we have about 3 minutes left.
Jeff could say and spell his name. I don't see it listed on the...
It's Jeff, J-E-F-F, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R.
And your position?
Deputy Commissioner of Labor. And I lead the Indiana Occupational Safety and Health Administration.
You said Notre Dame disagreed with some of the business safety reports. Can you elaborate on what they didn't agree with? Or what they...
I think that's probably a question that you'd be better off to address to them. They just got it, and it takes a little time to digest all those findings. I'm sure that they'll have some statement very soon.
Any more questions? Okay, if you have any questions that come up later in the day or something of that nature, my name is at the top, Stephanie McFarland, the Public Information Officer of the Department of Labor. Please don't hesitate to give us a call. Thank you. So you'll get a news release from me as you really want to call.